Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
The title of my message today is Fireproof. And you're going to see why I've titled it that a little bit later on. But here's a quick question for you. Have you ever thought about why people miss their flights? I get to travel a fair bit. I'm in airports all the time. And I am shocked at how many times people's names are being called over the intercom. Now, you've got to remember, these are people that have checked in their luggage. These aren't people that are running late to the airport. I get that. I get traffic. I get they missed what time the flight was going to be. I get all that. No, no. These are people who have checked their luggage in. They have received a boarding pass. They've gone through customs. They've gone out to the other side if it's an international flight. And now they are not getting on their flight. Question. Where are these people? What are they doing? And it's not like they call their names out once. They just repeat the name over and over again. What's happened to these people? Well, lo and behold, I can tell you what's happened to them. They got way too comfortable with their current reality, which was the beautiful variety shops, the Gucci shops. Maybe it was Hugo Boss. Maybe it was that beautiful cafe. Maybe it was the focaccia took a little bit too long to be cooked. I don't know what they were doing, but basically they were waiting to catch their flight. Remember, this was their purpose. Their purpose wasn't to be shopping at Hugo Boss and Gucci. They were supposed to be catching a plane to a destination that they were going to enjoy, whether it was a holiday, going back home, going to see family. But somehow these people got distracted by their current reality. They got so caught up in it all that now they are about to miss the very thing that they were actually there for. And you know what? I just think that we, if we're not careful, that we can live our life on earth in the exact same way. Do you know, we have been put onto this earth to build a relationship with God, to build a relationship with people, to enjoy our life, to really love it and to flourish. But if we're not careful, we can easily become distracted and miss the very thing that God is trying to do in our lives. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that, but I'm sure that all of you have walked through a cemetery at some stage of your life, maybe for a funeral, maybe just for a walk, who knows. You know, whenever you look at a tombstone, there are two truths and a lie on that tombstone. There's actually a game that we play. If you ever come to one of our new friends' nights, there's a game that we play called Two Truths and a Lie. So you've got to tell us three things about you, and two of them are true, and one of them is a lie. And man, that's been an interesting game to play, the things that people have told us. But you know, whenever you look at a tombstone, there's two truths and a lie. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you see the date that is written there about the person's life, you'll see that you'll see a date of when they were born. Well, that's a truth. That's the day that they were born. And then you'll see a dash in between, and that represents their life. It's amazing how our whole life is represented by simply a dash. It's amazing, isn't it? One day, your life, my life, will be represented by a dash. Well, that's another truth. That's true. That's the life that we lived. And then there's another date, which apparently is the day that we died. And I believe that's the lie, because the truth is, friends, you are never going to die. Did you know that? Maybe you're new here today and you're thinking, okay, wow. No, I'm telling you, there's a day that you were born, there's a life that you're living right now, and we get told that we are going to die one day. Hey, listen, there's no doubt about it. One day you will leave this earthly body, but you, my friend, me, the true person, you're never going to die. Now, that's actually great news. You're never going to die. Why? Because you are a soul. And you may be thinking, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Well, you know, we talk a lot about love. Actually, when you turn on the radio, 98% of songs are about this thing called love. Well, the funny thing is, show me love. Like, where does love live? Does it live in your pinky? If I took you to an X-ray room, if you say, I'm so in love with a girl, if I took you to an X-ray or put you through a CT scan, would I find this thing called love? But yet, we believe it's real. Where does it exist? Where does unforgiveness exist? Where do these things come from? They come from our soul. You know, when people have out-of-body experiences, which I'm sure most of us believe that people do have these experiences, what is that? It's your soul separating from your body, whether it be for a short time. But death basically is when your soul separates from its body. Now, that's good news. That means you are never going to die. And I don't know about you, but I just think that's a great thing to be to acknowledge and to know that that's how we live. Now, the thing is, what happens to this soul once your flesh does die? Well, we go into what we call eternity. Now, where we get to spend eternity is completely up to you. I think that's great news as well. You get to choose where you want to spend your eternity. But my question that I have for us today is more about, are you prepared for eternity? Because I would imagine that most of us would say, well, if I am a soul and if I do get to live in eternity, I want to be in the good place. I want to be in the happy place. I want to enjoy my eternity. And we call that place heaven. And that's where we all should be wanting to go to. And I think most of you who are watching probably are going there. But for some of you, you're not sure. Or at the end of this message, you're going to have an opportunity to make a firm decision about that. But I want you to be prepared for eternity. And there's a scripture here that really brings this home. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 52. You'll see it on the screen. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died, watch it, will be raised to live forever. We're going to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. What this is telling us is there's going to be a day when our soul separates from our body and that God is going to give us a brand new body. You know what that means to me? No more keto. And none of this carb-free diets. I'm telling you, I'm going to be smashing pizzas like there's no tomorrow. And none of this plant-based cardio. Look, the only thing that's going to exist in heaven is that we're all going to be CrossFit. You like that? CrossFit. Come on, somebody. Give me some credit here. We're all going to be CrossFit. Just kidding. Hey, listen, every day that passes by, every person that is watching this, those who aren't watching this, every day we are all one step closer to eternity. Every person on the face of the planet is one step closer. And my encouragement to all of us is to be prepared for that. And let's not be like those people at the airport who they had a purpose, they knew what they were there for, but they somehow got distracted and missed what they were there for. I don't want us to miss this. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says something so powerful. And I always remember this when I'm speaking to people. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. There is not a person that you will ever speak to that doesn't have eternity already in their heart. Your employer, God has put eternity in their heart. Your children, God has put it in their heart. What does that mean? We all secretly know we're going to live forever. All of us know I'm not sure about that. No, I'm telling you. People know that they are going to live forever. He says, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Everyone knows it's coming. And here's my challenge to us. How much preparation are we putting into this? And I've got a little illustration here that I actually saw another preacher do, so I can't take the credit for it, but I've actually used a similar one in the past. But you've got to just excuse me for a moment while I just reach out over here. Okay, some of you may have seen this before, but for those of you who haven't, you know what? Over here, I want you to imagine that this rope that I've currently got here, which does, it actually does go for, look, actually, look, that's how much of it there is. But I want you to imagine that this rope went around the earth 30 or 40 times, at least. And this little black part here, that represents your life and my life. And this is our time on earth. You know, we're born and we sort of go through school and some of us go to university and then we work really, really, really hard. Like we're working really hard. And what are we working hard for? We're working hard so that when we get to here, when we get to there, we really, really want to enjoy till there. And all this effort was for about that much of our life. And can I encourage you that, friend, I'm not opposed to you preparing for this part of your life, but are you getting prepared for this part of your life? The part that just goes on and on and on and on and on and on, and it just keeps going, and it goes on, and it just does not end. And some of you are going, what do you mean it doesn't end? Listen, I don't even know how to explain it to you, but eternity never ends. The only sort of illustration I can give you is imagine Es Rock, which is a huge rock. For those of you that are international, it's a huge rock in Australia. Actually, it's got a different name, which I can't even tell you right now. Uluru. And imagine Uluru became a diamond overnight. Imagine it was a diamond, the hardest rock in the world. And imagine you walked up to Uluru with a feather and just basically, waved that feather on the diamond. Just touched it a little bit, just like that. Imagine you did that once a year with a feather. By the time that diamond wears out, eternity has just started. Like, friends, that's a long, long time in anyone's language. And I just want to encourage all of us, because there are some people who think that I'm crazy doing what I do with my life. I'm a pastor of a church, but forget that. I was already doing this before I was a pastor of a church. Friends, some people think that I'm crazy because I didn't set my life up really, really well, because I spent a lot of time here and I didn't probably prepare too well for there. And I would say, you think I'm crazy because I didn't prepare for that, but can you understand what I'm thinking about the person who hasn't prepared for that? Like, forever and ever and ever. Friends, what we're supposed to be doing with this time here is getting ready for that rope, that eternal life that we are going to live forever and ever. And this is an encouragement to you. This is not a condemning message. This is me saying to you guys, this is me warning all of us, guys, don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Make the most of it. Every day that goes by that you think you've just got so many of these days. No, friends, that those days do come to an end. But you've got to realize that after that, you do get to live forever and ever and ever. Eternity is a long time. But what we want to do is have a life that is fireproof. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me read this scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul talking about the foundation that he has built his life on. And he's saying our foundation should be Jesus. He says, anyone who builds on that foundation, that's Jesus, they may use a variety of materials. Listen to what he says. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. He says, but on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss, and the builder, it says, will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Let me just explain to you exactly what he's saying here. When you get to heaven one day, you're going to be coming in with some precious jewels, stones, gold, silver, and you're going to have some wood, hay, and straw. What do those things represent? They represent the things that you did while you were on earth. That's what they are. They're just all the works that you did, the thoughts that you had, the words that you spoke. It's your life. All these things are your life. And you're going to stand before the presence of God, and God's fire is going to purge to see what things you did on earth that actually matter for eternity. That's what the fire is. And so the fire will come out. And the Bible is saying that whatever you're left with, that's what you get to take into heaven. But for some people, what they're actually carrying is going to be completely burned up to the point where they get into heaven. They're going to get into heaven because you're not saved by what you do, but you're going to get into heaven basically with your faith alone, and none of the things that you did mattered for eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but if that happens to me, well, it is going to happen. I'm going to be there just like you are. I want, when the flames start to hit me, I want there to be like a little, like a candle, actually. I just want a little bit of fire getting burned up. But what I don't want is a bonfire. I don't want to walk into heaven and my life just goes, because everything that I did was for selfish intent, selfish motives. It was all about me. I didn't really care about anybody else. And I just totally forgot that there was an eternity coming my way. So here's the question. How do we live a life that's fireproof? Now you understand why I've titled it that. How do we become fireproof? Well, I've just got a couple of things here. And friends, they're actually not that difficult. They're actually things that I'm sure you would agree with. Number one, build a loving relationship with Jesus. Build a relationship with him. Why is that important? Because Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, he tells us that there's going to be a group of people who knock on the door and they say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. We did miracles, signs and wonders. They did a whole lot of stuff. But Jesus says, guys, depart from me because I never knew you. So it's not those things that he's overly interested in. What he actually wants is a relationship with you. And friends, there's a lot of people on earth right now and they're chasing a whole lot of stuff. But the question is, are you chasing a relationship with Jesus? Oh, yeah, you know, I did that in 1964. I gave my life to Jesus and I got baptized and, you know, yeah, no, that's what I'm... Yeah, no, no. Today, are you still building a relationship with Jesus? Here's a really good question for you. We should be going harder right now because you're closer to eternity than you were in 1973. 1989, 1992, whenever it was that you began your life, you're closer today to eternity than you were back then. Come on, let's go on a journey of wanting to continue to build our loving relationship with God. You know, as I said earlier, I get to travel a fair bit and most of the time it's with my wife and I love that. But sometimes I travel alone and I've got to tell you, you know, we've been married 28 years now, so seeing her every day of my life is awesome. But then sometimes I go away and I'm away for 2 or 3 weeks. And I've got to tell you, I really miss her face. I really miss just being with her. And although we talk on the phone, and although she may send me messages or emails or text messages, I mean, all those things are wonderful, but there's nothing like being face to face with her. Now, listen. When it comes to our relationship with God, yes, we've got text messages from him called the Word, his Word. And although he does speak to us by his Spirit, but nothing is going to beat the day that we are with him face to face. Hey, are you longing for that? Or are you dreading that day? That's the question that I've got today, because I see a lot of Christians who, although they know that one day they're going to be with Jesus, they're actually not longing for that day. I tell you, what they're actually longing for is this. That's all they're longing for, and they're dreading that day. But friends, this is God's intention for us, that we enjoy this, that we love it, and it's awesome, and it's fruitful, and it's satisfying. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. So he wants us to live an awesome life. But from here, it just gets better and better, and it's awesome. Whereas I see a lot of people who are just full of fear. Like they're just trying to hold on to this for dear life. But friends, that's not God's will for us. He wants us to be excited about what's coming our way. We're supposed to have the same heartbeat like the Apostle Paul did. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow, listen to this, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. What's he saying? I just can't wait. He's saying, I can't wait. I'm loving this life, but I can't wait to be with Jesus. Hey, is that your attitude? Is that my attitude? Or are we just caught up in duty free? Are we just caught up in the airport thinking that this is what we're meant to be doing? No, no, no. Enjoy your life. But friends, we've got to realize what's coming our way. And so this is just a healthy reminder for us. In verse 12, he says, listen, not that I've already obtained all of this or have arrived at my goal. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. What's he saying? There's more. There is always more. He says, but one thing I do, he says, I'm going to forget what is behind and straining to what is ahead. I press onward to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? Guys, I've got a plan. God's got a purpose for my life, but the ultimate purpose is I'm going to be with him one day. And I just want to encourage you. Let's stop looking backwards. Let's continue to look forward. He says, I don't look behind. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos where some guy's running, he's a marathon runner, and he's looking like he's going to win. And he's so confident that as he's running along, he starts to wave to the crowd. Have you seen that guy? He starts waving. You're supposed to be running, buddy. No, he's waving to the crowd. And then he even bothers to look behind him just to see how far ahead he is. And while he's doing that, some guy just runs straight past him and actually wins first prize. Have you seen those? You can actually watch them. They're hilarious. I just don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to be looking around and all of a sudden I don't win the prize that God has for me. You know, when the Apostle Paul talks about this, he's actually using a Grecian mindset in regards to the Olympics. That's what he's trying to say here. He's saying that he's about to win the prize and he's almost at the finish line, but he's saying, I'm not satisfied, he's saying, until I'm holding up the cup. Come on, let's not be satisfied until we're holding up the cup to say, Jesus, here I am. I'm full of faith. I made it home. Amen. The second thing is this. If we want to be fireproof, is we need to love what Jesus loves. So the first one is love Jesus. The second one is love what Jesus loves. You know, Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, of course, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. What's he saying? When we love others, when we love other people, we are loving Jesus. Did you know that? Some people are wondering, how do I show my love to God? Quite simply, love people. When you love people, you are loving what Jesus loves. You know, in the old days, we used to have this percolator coffee machine, and we never quite knew how much coffee was in there because if you opened up the lid, the steam would get all over you and you could potentially burn yourself. But, you know, you didn't need to open up the lid because there was this glass indicator that if you just looked at the glass, it would tell you exactly what was in the percolator machine just basically by looking at that little bit of glass. But you know, I don't need to look inside of you to see how much love you have for God. All I've got to do is see how much you love people. That's all I've got to do. Just see how much you love people and then I can tell how much you love God. Friends, it doesn't quite work when you say, I love God, but if you're not loving people, it's very difficult because Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs, feed my sheep, care for my people. And when we begin to do that, friends, our life starts to become fireproof. So here's an encouragement to you. Who are we loving at the moment? Friends, is life all about us? Is it all about my life? Let me tell you where this message is coming from. I'm getting really nervous when I'm watching a whole lot of younger people, some older people who are just focused on that black part of life, that little black tape. It's like as if they don't even know what's coming their way and they're focused on their career. Hey, great, great, chase your career, no problem. But are you getting ready for eternity, my friend? Are you getting ready for it? Is it somewhere in your thinking? Is it somewhere in your heart? Or are we just living for today, not knowing what's coming tomorrow? Friends, it's an encouragement to you. It's coming out of a heart of love. You know, Jesus made it pretty clear to us. He said, those who love their life, this is John chapter 12, verse 25, those who love their life in this world, you're going to lose it. He says, but those who care nothing for their life in this world, you're going to keep it for eternity. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you don't go build a great business or have a great career. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, are you keeping in mind what's coming your way? That's all I'm saying. Have a brilliant life. We believe that at our church, but not at the cost of eternity. And friends, this is dear to me because some of you may or may not know, but when I was much younger, I had a really bad motorbike accident. I was 17 years old. I was fit. I was healthy. I had faith in God. Life was good. And I was riding down the street one day on my motorbike and a taxi pulled out and I had a head-on collision that sincerely almost took me out. Like, it was a really bad motorbike accident. I flew for 25 metres, hit a no-standing sign as I'm flying through the air. My back lands on a bluestone curb. I'm out for 20 minutes. By the time the ambulance come, I've got a bone poking out of my arm. My leg's broken. And, you know, from what they told me, I was lucky to be alive. That happened to me at 17. I have never forgotten that one day you're alive and the next day you're gone. That could have been it for me, as it is for many people. But thankfully, I got to live, but I've never forgotten the experience of, wow, you're here today, You could be gone tomorrow. And that's not something that you should fear. All I'm saying is be prepared. In other words, be fireproof. When you finally get to heaven, hey, come on, you should be walking in saying, Lord, bring on the fire because I've got jewels and diamonds and a whole lot of stuff. Can I just go back to that scripture just for a moment? Did you notice what those different works were? It says it was gold, silver and precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Watch this. All those jewels and precious metals, where are they found? Under the ground. Where do you see wood, hay, stubble? All above the ground. What's he saying? It's the things that we did not to be seen. You know, all the things that we've done to be seen, the wood, hay and straw, it's all going to get burnt. But the stuff that we do that we don't care if anyone sees it. We're just here to love God. We're here to love people. We're not trying to get recognition. God says, you're going to be rewarded for every one of those things because you did it for him and you did it for people, whether people saw you or they didn't. God says, I'm going to reward you for that. So friends, this is my encouragement to you all. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, come on, let's get your life fireproof. And friend, if you've never given your life to Jesus, can I encourage you? Why don't you begin today?
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.